I'm going to stay seated because I'm rather nervous, and this is the first time I've ever given a talk like this in my life. It's difficult to explain the position that I'm coming from, because from your perspective, you're sitting in the audience, now you know my name, now I'm a figure that, obviously not as famous as some people on this table, but you know, I'm not just an anonymous citizen anymore. And for those of you who know my case, I am sorry if I repeat myself again, but March 2003, there was a headline in a British newspaper which completely changed my world. And I was the reason behind the headline, and I have no regrets about that. I worked for British Intelligence. It's an agency called Government Communication Headquarters. It's similar to the sister agency, much, much larger, of course, the NSA in the US. And I was there for 2 years. I was working as a Chinese linguist. And during the build-up to the war in Iraq, I obviously had a lot of concerns, as did millions of people around the world, and we've all been sat here discussing it this morning. It didn't take an intellectual to work out what the problems in Iraq subsequent to an invasion would be and the amount of suffering that people would go through. So of course I had concerns, and apart from going on the demonstration in London in February, where perhaps more than a million people marched, I didn't feel there was very much else I could do. I felt I was outside of the system, that the government wasn't representing us anymore. Then one day in February, an email came into my inbox, along with all the other usual emails, and it detailed the NSA's wish to bug six of the swing nations in the UN Security Council vote in order to basically twist their arms to vote for yes for a second UN resolution which would legitimize war in Iraq. And when I read that email, I felt angry, as Ray just talked about in his speech. I couldn't believe that their need to go to war was so desperate that they would seek to undermine the UN democratic process in order to get this war. And I felt at the time that if the general public and the rest of the diplomatic world knew about this, that there would be moral outrage and people would step back and think twice about why we were going to war, that we would have an open, honest, and transparent discussion about what were the reasons for going to war, what was going to be achieved, and how this was going to affect the people who would be suffering at the hands of this war. But unfortunately, although the email did get some press attention in the UK and around the rest of the world, it got absolutely no attention in the US, and the war went ahead. So I was taken up. I was arrested after I confessed to my immediate line manager about my involvement, and the government decided to charge me only 8 months later. I waited for 8 months while they deliberated about whether or not to charge me. I don't know why it took so long, but perhaps they were hoping that the Iraq issue would die down. Perhaps they were debating about the intelligence of charging me or not. As it happens, they decided to charge me, and just less than 4 months later, they dropped the charges. I think maybe they finally saw sense. According to the strict confines of the law, yes, I did breach the Official Secrets Act, but the arguments are so much wider than that. I think Frank is finding, and all of us here, we want to know the truth, we deserve to know the truth, and it's important that people working inside any government agency, not just intelligence services, but any government agency, when they come across obvious breaches of the law, when there is evidence that aggression is going to be waged on people who have no say in the matter, and this aggression is not even sanctioned by the rest of the world, we need to speak out. Some people have attacked me and said that I, you know, should have loyalty to my organization that I work for, I should have loyalty to my country, and I do. But my loyalty is with the population, because we elected this government. My loyalty is not just solely for my employers. Yes, they pay my salary. Yes, they put food on my table. But at the end of the day, when people, it doesn't matter where in the world people are suffering, because if it's in Iraq, if it's in Africa, if it's here on our own doorsteps in former Yugoslavia, all the suffering can be dealt with, and it just needs people to be honest, to be brave, and to speak out when it's necessary to speak out. I'm amazed that I've been able to say so much without even planning what I'm going to say. I just want to take a brief quote from a lecture given by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, in December 2002. And at the very beginning of his lecture, he says, "Blind obedience is a virtue only in a very few circumstances. It's perfectly arguable that being an adult at all means having the capacity to ask awkward questions about the right of others to tell us what to do." Now, when I joined GCHQ, yes, I signed the Official Secrets Act, but I didn't sign away my conscience. And I think that's the important thing to remember for anybody working in any institution. And we all have a crunch point, every single one of us. There will always be a point where each and every one of us will come to a stage in a process, if we're faced with those circumstances, that our conscience will tell us what to do. Now, with everybody, it's a different level, and I believe that, you know, I'm no different to anybody else. In fact, that's why I'm nervous, that's why I'm sitting here shaking, because I am just an everyday, ordinary person, and there's nothing different about me than anybody else. And I think that's all I have to say for the moment.
Thank you, Catherine. You made it beautiful. And now, very quick questions. Questions from up here. One.
Thank you very much, Catherine. I was a bit puzzled that such an order arrived by email. I mean, the bug. Does that mean that it's was considered like a routine, and it was considered that nobody would object to such a thing? When you send something by email, you can transmit it to 1 million people in a second. It's very telling, I think.
Well, I have to remember that I'm still bound by the Official Secrets Act, and I will be for the rest of my life. And I'm sure the government is keeping a close watch on what I say next, because, you know, they probably would like to put me back, well, not back in prison, but shut me up. So I have to be careful what I say, but I think it's pretty obvious to most people that the US, the UK, and maybe other agencies as well, bug the UN. In fact, the whole reaction in the US was, hey, what's new? You know, why are we getting so worked up about this? I think what I felt so angered by was the fact that it wasn't just the bugging of the UN, bad enough as that is, but it was about manipulating votes within the UN to secure war. And that's what infuriated me so much. So I think, you know, as I was the only person to speak out about this email, and believe me, there were many dozens of people who received this email, it does go to show that it's actually quite routine for this sort of thing to go on. And I believe that this email also went to sister agencies around the world. So it wasn't just the UK as well.
Thank you.